All right. Beth Friedman, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Justin. How are you?
Excellent. Another co-founder and CEO, Agency 1022. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
You're also a long-term friend of mine and of my family. And but this is your first time in studio and as a guest, correct?
It is. I was telling Roberta, I've often been the one interviewing and I've watched you interview people at HIMSS.
Yes.
But this is the first time where I'm the interviewee.
Well, I know how much wisdom and expertise is in your head, so I look forward to my audience hearing a lot of it. So,
absolutely. Thank
you're
you.
Always, you're wonderful. I always rely on you when I need to get something done quickly or something in the media or a press release. You're always my go-to. I don't usually give you a whole lot of lead time, but you always react and you're extremely professional and your team is phenomenal. You have Jessica Clifton, is one of the best in the industry.
She is.
I've worked with her on and off for many, many years and she's just terrific. And you have her, she's a great asset to your team. So I want to thank you for all that you do and what you guys do for our industry and a lot of just my friends and peers that I push your way. So thank you.
Absolutely.
You handle everybody very, very well. Again, Beth Friedman, co-founder and CEO of Agency 1022. You're out of Atlanta. We've spoken about just the intellectual capital that we have here in our community. We're fortunate, all the companies, the institutions, but we just have an amazing ecosystem here, and you're certainly one of those pillars and foundations. So thank you. So from your perspective, what healthcare or health IT trends are you seeing in the industry?
Well, I wanted to focus my time with you today, Justin, on the revenue cycle piece of healthcare.
Excellent.
I know you've had a lot of speakers on today on the regulatory side, on you know, sort of that patient communication, yes, patient touch piece. Yep. But when I attended the Healthcare Financial Management Association conference, HFMA, this past June, over the summer, there were several key trends that I heard, and they were different than what I've heard before at that same conference. So the first one that I wanted to share with your audience is patient financial experience. So yes, we've been talking about patient experience all day. We've been talking about patient clinical experience for decades.
Yes.
I really heard the CFOs and the VPs of revenue cycle finally get it, that patient's financial journey,
yes,
is becoming just as important as the patient's care journey. And it makes sense when you think about it from, you know, pre-registration scheduling, that's a touch point in revenue cycle, all the way to that last bill. So you're patient journey starts and ends, you know, really on that financial side. So a lot of conversation about what they can do to improve the patient's financial journey.
Yeah. And I think my audience is grateful to hear your voice right now, because literally everybody else except for, well, Bird Blitch really kicked it off. That was, you know, from Patient Co. talking about the patient financial experience. Jeff Brown touched on it a little bit, but a lot of my guests have been doctors or on the clinical side. And so we've heard a lot of the resounding themes, which is what I like to pull out themes, but revenue cycle and payment is at the point we got to pay for all this.
Right.
And
right,
we need people paying for all this.
That's right.
And so it's critically important. So this is very refreshing that we didn't leave this off of the show. And that's why I wanted to certainly have you here. When we were talking, you know, speaking a month ago about having you on and you brought up what you wanted to speak about, I thought it was perfect. And the timing is excellent because it is so key. And it's actually near and dear to my heart. I mean, I love the clinical side of the business, mm-hmm, but I also love the payment side and the revenue cycle. And I call it revenue cycle performance, because you can optimize our current procedures and our there's so much that we can do on the financial side to bring a better experience. And so I completely agree.
Absolutely.
So, anything else that you want to follow on with that, or what are a couple of best practices to navigate?
Well,
that,
you know, following on from that, yes, at HFMA, there was one other trend I wanted to share with your audience today, and that's the technology piece. So I saw so much more technology at HFMA this year, and being fully integrated,
yes,
into the revenue cycle, into the workflow of the revenue cycle ops folks. So, you know, AI, analytics, propensity to pay, eligibility. I mean, I am seeing so much advancement in the revenue cycle technologies and the integration of that into our workflows. So I think that that is a huge area of focus. There's just no reason why we should be doing things the way we've been doing them in the revenue cycle, because we've got so many more advanced technologies that can predict, you know, the payability of a,
yes,
patient. Do that up front. And then that really feeds back into the patient experience, because you can manage that patient's account financially, knowing so much more than we used to know in the past. So I think the whole bringing technology to the forefront of the revenue cycle process was another huge trend.
Yeah, no, and that actually was brought up. Our good friend Denise Hines brought up the predictive piece of we're getting better in healthcare at that on the clinical side, but now obviously you bring it up and we're getting better at that on the financial side.
Correct.
You know, which is critically important. Certainly, I mean, we need to predict payment and payment strategies there because we're trying to build an organization and you got to have an eye on revenue of where it's coming from and the collectability of it.
Absolutely. And the biggest sector that I saw focus on at the conference was on the patient pay or the self-pay. You know, that is a growing segment of every healthcare organization's AR.
Yes.
And being able to apply these predictive technologies to that piece of it and then to engage that patient in that financial journey, it's really becoming a big trend.
That's fantastic.
And not even self-pay. The deductibles are so high now.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
The deductibles so high that's you're paying most of your healthcare out of pocket anyway.
And that's the new self-pay, right?
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
self-pay, we used to think about our homeless and our Medicaids.
Right.
Now self-pay is folks like me who have a high deductible health plan. And when I go in for a procedure, you know, knowing that I can do a no interest patient loan for that deductible piece, that's huge.
Yes.
You know, that makes me loyal as a patient.
Right. Completely agree. Yeah, I mean deductibles, I don't need to tell my audience, they're $5,000 to $7,500. Mine's actually $10,500, I think, my deductible is.
Mm-hmm.
But I only pay a couple hundred dollars a month for healthcare insurance, so it is phenomenal. But I'll take it. So what are two or three best practices or strategies that you can share with my audience to navigate those trends?
Well, we just spoke about one. I just brought one up, and I know your speaker earlier today, Bird, had patient financing also. Yeah. That has become a must-have. Some of the VPs of revenue cycle and CFOs I sat with at the conference, they reiterated that point that we can't just think about this. We have to have it and we have to do it very well.
Yep.
Engaging with the patient financing companies and the patient financing programs. So that's a really important strategy for providers to do right now.
Yeah. Cause that actually brings it to another level. So there's patient pay and self pay, but then patient financing is another component of that. And so I guess, if you're integrating all of that, and you can get 0% interest or financing, that's fantastic because I haven't even gotten to that side of the house. I know I'm aware of companies who will finance it for you, and they're a blessing to find for a lot of people because, you know, they can't come up with $3,000 or $5,000 or even $1,000 for some procedures, but we don't want to delay care as we know 50%+ of people are delaying care based on, you know, Bird's interview earlier. What are some of the products that you've seen out there? So 0% financing or allowing people to pay in stages?
I'm all raise my hand. I've used a program like that twice.
It's great.
And they're fantastic. As a matter of fact, one of our clients here in town, Clear Balance, they do a consumer survey every year. And just this past year, I pulled out some of the stats for today's conversation. 92% of the patients will return to a provider if payment options are provided. So, again, going into that patient loyalty, patient financial satisfaction. In the survey, the patients are also sharing that experience with friends and family, which is helping all of our providers. And then also over 50% of the patients nationally now, as an average, have used a payment program.
Yes.
So it has become the norm here in the United States.
That's excellent. Great stats and good strategy there. I just learned something.
Absolutely.
So, excellent. So thinking beyond today and kind of in Wayne Gretzky speak, where's the puck going? What do you think we should look out for in a couple of years from now, and basically 3 years? Where's the healthcare industry going to shift
towards? So Justin, you've been in the industry long enough, and Roberta as well, to remember the early 2000s when we were all putting in EMRs and EHRs.
Yes.
And, you know, but most providers and health systems had one foot in sort of that digital boat. We knew we had to get all digitized, but we still had all this paper, right? And people like yourself would ask me a question, how many years before the paper's gone?
Yes.
Well, I think the question now is how many years will we still have fee-for-service? So I think that where it's going is 100%. Call it what you want, value-based, you know, pay-per-performance, risk-based contracting. We are headed there. And at the conference this year, I think everybody accepts that. We're all on that train, and the train has left the station. What we're trying to figure out now and in the next 2 or 3 years is we all have to figure out what are the best practices to make that successful from technology, workflow, you know, all these new tools that we have, as well as payer contracting, you know, even using the predictive analytics to figure out how can we make better contracts with our payers when we go to risk. So I think that whole journey toward 100%
yes.
Away from fee-for-service. It's going to be painful. It's not going to be easy, but it is definitely where we're all headed.
Actually, someone could say that's provocative, but I love it. I agree with you. That's kind of the health plan that I helped create here in Georgia. We've done away with a lot of the fees. You still have fee-for-service at some levels, but for the most part, all care is included in a monthly fee. And I agree. It's better for the patient. It's a holistic view of the patient. It's not nickel and diming, and they can have full transparency on what they're going to spend on their healthcare costs. And like we have it with every other aspect of our life. Mm-hmm. We have full transparency in almost everything except for healthcare. So I actually agree with you. I was not expecting that, but I love the concept. I think that would be great for healthcare. It's just how do we successfully navigate that? But I agree with you.
It's going to be a journey. There'll be a lot of travails. It will be painful. But I think that it's definitely where we're headed, to answer your question.
Yeah.
One of the speakers at HFMA, when asked about when we would get there, which is the question we always would get, when will we be paperless?
Yeah.
He said it was still another decade away before 100%. And I would concur.
I agree.
Yeah. I would concur.
And in a decade, we'll have totally new technology. So.
Correct.
Very true.
To support the journey.
That's right.
And that's part of it. I mean, this journey can only be supported.
Right.
Through technology, through mm-hmm. digitized revenue cycles,
yes.
through mm-hmm. data accuracy, data access, mm-hmm. and then also to your point, Justin, transparency.
Yeah.
I mean, I know actually the White House made an announcement while we were at HFMA, pushing all of us to as a healthcare industry to
yes.
be transparent about our billing and our charges, and I think we're going to have to figure out that too.
I completely agree.
One of the big news items right now is this surprise billing.
Mm-hmm.
You go into a hospital and you come out with these bills because out of network,
yeah.
a complication has arisen, and you are really stymied when you get out.
Yeah, and actually we've got a couple clients in that space, mm-hmm. and I have learned so much by talking to them that, you know, because I'm a big patient advocate,
mm-hmm.
and certainly
mm-hmm.
what patient wants, a surprise bill, correct? But then learning the other side of that conversation mm-hmm. is really interesting. Maybe Justin fodder for a whole other show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and I agree with that. There's two sides of that coin, because I mean, I hear it from both sides. I hear from the health systems that they don't have all the data they want. They want transparent bills, but they don't have access to that data until it's too late. They're getting random charges and they're trying to consolidate everything. But as patients, we deserve it as well. We can't budget for our families. I mean, people cannot absorb a $5,000. I mean, I have a family member who stepped out of her health plan, didn't realize she did, and then got she actually had insurance. But the health system did not accept her insurance. And she said, well, then treat me at just going to do a cash pay. No, we know that you have insurance. And this is a local facility here, not someone that's been on my radio show. But they would not, because I wouldn't let them be. I don't like that. I think this is extremely unfair. They found out that she had insurance. We do not accept that insurance. And so we're going to now charge you $3,000 for just to stitch up a finger because
wow.
she went to an emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
But she had full insurance, but they did not accept it. And so they would not allow her to do a cash pay. A cash pay would have been like $1,100 for that visit. But because she had insurance, but they did not accept it, it's over $3,500.
And that's, you know what,
that's not fair. That's just.
And you know what? Here you go. So she told you that story.
Yes.
And now you're telling your listeners that story.
Yes.
So to the providers out there listening, patient yeah. financial satisfaction is huge.
Yes.
You know, what if we would have negotiated with your family member and said, yeah. okay, pay us cash. We'll take the $1,100.
Correct. And she offered that.
What a much better experience.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody
and what a different
happy.
Story you would have been telling right,
right.
now.
Right.
Yeah.
And I gave her the advice because I know healthcare. I know policy. I told her she does not have to pay that $3,500. You negotiate hard line with them and just walk.
Mm-hmm.
And they will eventually accept it, but they basically browbeat her, and
wow.
It was horrible. And
yeah.
so that's what we're fighting for. I mean, on the transparency side, that's just not fair. That's a business practice. That
right.
is not a surprise bill or anything. That was strictly the hospital's
mm-hmm.
fault because they would
mm-hmm.
not. So that we need to get away from.
And the surprise bills occur primarily in what you just mentioned. So emergency, radiology,
yeah.
and anesthesia, and those yeah. three areas. And it's because I think the number is around 60% to 70% of healthcare organizations outsource those functions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So your anesthesiologist.
Not network.
Yes.
Right. And
mm-hmm.
so as a patient, how do I know
mm-hmm.
that emergency physician is not in my network? It's an emergency.
Correct.
I'm going to go to my emergency
That's
room
right. That's right.
that I know is covered by my insurance, but I have no clue about that physician.
Correct.
And I think that onus should be on the hospital, because if I go in as a networked person, I'm going to you because you're in my network, and then you throw all these non-networked people at me.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something wrong with that.
Well, that's a piece that we need. Just for my audience to educate, is you can't. Healthcare is different today than it was 10 years ago. A lot of us grew up in. You cannot just drive to the local facility or your closest facility. You have got, if whatever your health plan is, you've got to research it, and you have to know all that fine print. So that's like a public service announcement right there. Because if not, you could very well get a $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 bill that you were not expecting by going to your closest facility. Mm-hmm. It's like when you get on the airplane, they say, "Hey, the closest door may be behind you, not just in front of you." You need to look at your bill. You need to look at your health plan and know what your costs are based on the facility that you visit, because you could very well get a surprise bill.
Yeah, I think the whole surprise bill conversation, I think that for the layman and for people non-healthcare, it seems like a very simple thing to solve. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of downside risks as well as a lot of complications. Yep. And I agree with you, Robert. I think the conversation starts with the hospital and all of those physician medical groups that they contract with.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Beth Friedman, co-founder and CEO of Agency 1022. Thank you very much for joining us in studio.
You're very welcome, and thank you for inviting me.
You are a terrific guest, and you gave us some fantastic content to even just think about. I mean, this was a great perspective to bring in the financial aspect. So thank you for rounding out our day very, very well.
Anytime.
Awesome. Thanks, Beth.